ladies and gentlemen, another episode here of the Business Book Podcast. My guest today is Brian Judd. He's Executive Director at the Association of Publishers for Special Sales. So for most of my authors, I say that a business book, you don't write a business book for sales. A business author doesn't count on the sales of their book. They count on what their book sells. You're not going to make a whole lot of money from a business book. You write it usually so that you can sell your consulting services, your speaking gigs, other services, your programs, your courses. And so usually I just think of either my author is either going through retail, their book on Barnes & Noble shelves, or going through direct. Buying your books in bulk whenever you whenever you're going to go speak at an event or go conduct a training or a workshop. So I was pretty fascinated whenever I came across Brian Judd. I found you through Book Baby's newsletter. Book Baby had a newsletter. Their conference it was in Philadelphia just a few weeks ago. In that newsletter, they'd featured some writing by Brian Judd, and that's how I stumbled onto Special Sales, which is, like I said, this whole unexplored for me area of publishing. So, Brian, instead of me trying to explain what I understand, why don't I just give you the microphone and you tell us? What are these special sales? Why do we need a whole association of publishers for special sales?
Yeah, that's a great question. A great way to start off, Derek. Thanks again for inviting me to join you here. The special sales is non-bookstore marketing, selling books to retailers, non-retailers, companies that use books to resell or use books as promotional items. But the idea is to sell it in places other than bookstores. And that's the basic definition of it. And it can be for business books, self-help books, art books, photography books, health, travel, whatever the topic may be. There's an audience for that outside the bookstores. And actually, Derek, that market is larger than the trade market, than the bookstore market. There's more books are sold outside of bookstores than in bookstores. And even whether it's online or even with the advent of Amazon and the Barnes & Noble independent stores, the books have been sold that way for a long time, but just very few, I shouldn't say very few, but outside the top publishers of the Simons and Randoms of the world, it's not a market that people approach. They aren't aware of it or don't know how to get into it. So that's what I have devoted my career and the association to do, to help people or do it for them and just to make them aware of the vast opportunity of book sales outside the bookstore market. This could be just in the U.S. When you open it up to the world, then it becomes even much larger.
So whenever I think about the places I bought books that were not in bookstores or directly off of Amazon. I'm thinking about Sam's or some of the other warehouse stores. I've bought a couple of books there before. Whenever I travel, if I go to a museum, I always like to buy a book there at one of the museums. I've even bought a couple of books from, say, Walmart or a grocery store. But what we're talking about here with special sales, it includes that. But from what I was reading, it goes way, way beyond that. Give us a couple of examples of what those niches, what those kind of micro markets or those unexplored giants look like.
Sure. The retail sector includes many of those which you just mentioned. There are supermarkets, airport stores, pharmacies, the discount stores, warehouse clubs, museums, the zoos, specialty stores. If you have a book on photography, you might go to a camera shop, for example, have them sell it there. The non-retail part would be corporations and associations and schools and the military and government agencies that buy books in large quantities. And Derek, the real benefit of the non-retail is that the books are generally non-returnable. And so you can sell X thousand books on a non-returnable basis. It's a lot more profitable than selling books in the retail sector. I tell people that they want to sell 10,000 books through retail, you have to find 10,000 people to each buy one. On the non-retail side, you can find one person to buy 10,000 books. So that becomes a lot more profitable for you.
Yeah, that seems a lot easier to get one person.
Now you mentioned all those different places in which you purchase books, and it's really a good place to start, in the sense that I always tell my clients and others to start in this whole process by defining your target reader. You know, who are they? Where do they shop? If they're business travelers, and maybe you want to be in airport stores. If your content is for parents, they maybe want to shop in or have your book in supermarkets or Target or Walmart if they're on a budget. And so some people say, well, the primary buyer of my book would be women. Well, is it women who are just starting a family? Is it career women that are traveling a lot? So once you define your reader, then when you find out where they shop, and that's where you want to have your books. If they shop and if they go to libraries, and you want to have your books in libraries. And what I do, I tell people to look at their book. First of all, you define your target. Now, second, define your book. And that may sound odd, but I think you'll sell more books if you stop selling your books. In the sense that people don't want to buy it. They want to buy pages, you know, with print on it. You know, they want to buy, they want content, they want information, and they want to lose weight, they want to gain weight, they want to gain money, they want to be healthy, they want better relationships, and that's what they're looking for, that information. So what you need to do is present that information. I make the analogy to Arm & Hammer baking soda. Sounds odd, but how is that used? You know, in recipes, as a deodorant, as a toothpaste, as putting out fires, and put it in refrigerators to keep them fresh. It's the same product, but people use it in different ways. It's the same as your book. Retailers use your book to increase their store traffic or to become more profitable, to increase inventory turns. You know, they don't care about selling your book. If your book doesn't do that for them, they'll replace it with something else that does. So the idea is that you have that. You want to define the content so you know who will be interested in your content. I sold, for example, I wrote a series of books. I first started out in my career, but I wrote job search type books. And I sold those I thought about who needs the content, who needs information about how to get a job. People who are unemployed don't go to bookstores because they don't have the money to spend for books. So they go to libraries. Then I went to colleges and I thought, I sold books as a textbook, sold it to alumni associations. I use it as a fundraiser. I sold it to – I thought, who wants a college student to get a job more than the student does? Well, the parents.
Yes, they do.
So I bought a list of the parents of graduating college students through a direct mail program to them and sold tens of thousands of books that way because they had really? – They had the money, had the desire to help the kids get a job and move out of the house. So, and there's just different ways of doing that. I had it translated into Spanish because there was no job search information for the Hispanic marketplace at the time. Then I sold it to state governments and sold it to corporations. When they were laying people off, they gave the upper management people outplacement help, but those in the general line didn't get that. So they gave them a packet of my books and videos. So, and then that leads me to the second part of this, Derek. So you define your content. Next, define the form of the book. And it sounds odd, but again, stop selling your book. Selling the information in your book and the content in which the buyers want it. The college students didn't want to spend $14.95 for a book. So I took out different chapters on resumes and cover letters and interviewing and sold those to the colleges, and they gave them to the students. So I actually made more money selling it that way. And then I went to one state government and presented my book to them as Job Search 101 and presented it to them. And they loved the book. I said, it's a great book, but we're not going to buy it. I said, why not? I said, well, we do workshops for the unemployed people of our state. So you do a workshop, you know, perfect bound book, you try to lay it down flat and it doesn't lay flat. And it just folds up upon itself. So I took it to Staples and cut off the binding, put a wire binding on it, and took it, never changed a word of that, and took it back to the state government and said, now how do you like it? They loved it. So they put in a standing order for 8,000 books a quarter just because I just changed that. And then I took those little booklets I did for the college, for the college students, and changed the, made a few minor changes. The word student, I changed to citizen like that. And states bought that. I know Connecticut, when people applied for the unemployment benefits, they got a packet of my booklets plus a video I did called The Art of Interviewing. So they had to watch that. I took that to other states when I had that book with the binding, the spiral binding, and I took that to other states and they all placed blanket orders for it. And I asked, you know, who's doing your workshops? I said, well, we have various people who do that. Well, how about having the author do the workshops? So I was paid to do the workshops using my own book as the textbook for it. So it was that's the two basic, well, three basic tenets. One, define your prospect. Two, define your contact intent in terms of your prospect. And three, what form do they want it? So corporate buyers, they may want your information in the form of a webinar or a seminar or maybe a presentation to their employees. So that's the way they want it. That's the way you sell it to them. So the basic tenet, when you sell it to the retailers, primarily they want obviously a physical book, but they may want it in a different format. Or when you're presenting a book to an airport store or to a any retailer, they almost exclusively work through a distributor. It's just like selling books to bookstores, that you get your distributor. And then they contact the airport stores, the supermarkets, the gift shops for you. And you just do the promotion on it. So most people start out there, actually, because it's just like they're used to that. They're getting in many cases, their distributor already sells to some of these outlets. So they're getting that distribution in place. And then they can do the social media, they can do the radio and TV shows to stimulate the sales through these outlets. Because the retail sales through a bookstore, you get a distributor, the books are on the shelf 60 to 90 days, and if they don't sell, they're taken off. You get paid 120 days, and the books are returnable if they don't sell. It's the same thing with an airport store, with a supermarket, or with a gift shop. If it doesn't sell, that they send it back. And so that's why your promotion is so important. On the non-retail side, it's just the opposite. You can sell large quantities non-returnable, but it's a different way of looking at it. So that's there are very, very many similarities to selling through a bookstore, and there are a lot of differences. Yeah, and the way that you can sell more is to perhaps start off with similarities and do the retail part of it. And then as your sales increase, then go through the non-retail part. So it's... I guess I'm repeating myself here, but there are not a lot of differences, and there are many differences depending on how you approach it. And it works for fiction or for nonfiction, and it's just a great way to sell books. And it's something that if people really look at it and find out how to do it, there are vast opportunities to increase the sales and revenue and profits of your book sales.
So I'm listening to you talk about, you know, thousands and tenths of thousands of different kinds of books, and it kind of blows me away, Brian, because with the publishers that I've worked with, you know, they're looking, you know, for maybe a 3,000 book print run or 5,000 books in a print run. To consider a book, you know, kind of breaking even.
Yeah.
Love, you know, to see their authors sell, you know, 20 or 30 or 50,000 books.
Well, that's very attainable.
What's that?
That's very attainable. I said very. It takes a lot of work for that. A sale may take a year or two to consummate, but it can be done. For example, Derek, we had a book, one of my clients had a book about eating well through cancer. It was a book about for people going through chemo or radiation, different recipes they could prepare to help them go through these treatments as healthily as possible. So we went to a pharmaceutical company, and the company that's making these chemicals, the products for these treatments, they bought 32,000 copies of it just to they put their logo on the cover and gave it to the doctors who were using their products. And the doctors gave it to their patients. So it was the sale was made to the pharmaceutical companies, but and they gave it away. And everybody benefited from that. So that's how a book could be used in large quantities. We had a book that was one company. Here's another example. What do you do when you're selling to non-retail? You're helping them solve a problem. You're not actually selling your book. Again, you stop selling your book. You solve the problem. For example, one company wanted to increase the awareness of health, healthy lifestyle among its employees, because their objective was to reduce their health care costs, to reduce absenteeism, and increase productivity. They had 10,000 employees. So what we did was went to them and got a book on walking. And then so all 10,000 books, all 10,000 employees in month one got a book on walking. On month two, they got a pedometer. Month three, a journal to keep track of their exercise. So we helped that company solve their problem of they reduced their health care costs. They reduced absenteeism. And they hired the author of the walking book as to be a spokesman. They paid him to fly around the country and speak to the different locations of the company about how to increase that your healthy lifestyle and all the benefits of it. So it took a couple of years to consummate that sale, to put everything together. But you get an order for 10,000 books. It's worth the effort. So the sales can be, there are many other examples of that, of the different types of books that we had or that can be sold through these non-retail sectors of it. And the companies may, for that walking book, the company actually, that we put in a tip-in page of the president of the company wrote out a little note about the importance of a healthy lifestyle. So it was customized in that way, and the companies pay for that kind of customization. And another point that you made that you said some publishers will print X thousand books in advance. That's another benefit of this. You don't have to print any books until the sale is made, because they may want to add their logo to the cover, or they may want to put in a tip-in page or make some kind of a customization to it. And that's requires a total separate print run. So you don't have to carry inventory like this. Well, you do for the retail sector, obviously. The distributors will take some books to keep in their inventory to resell. But on the non-retail side, you don't have to print any books in it. Matter of fact, I recommend you do not print any books in advance so you can customize them. So it's again, a different, totally different way of selling. It requires a different mindset and a little bit of ingenuity, a little creativity to come up with this. But the basic premise is to find out who could use that information in your book, and then you pursue that angle. So that's the way to increase your sales significantly. And it takes some time. You have to work at it. Or on the distribution, on the retail side, you don't have to take time out of your day job. You can still have that, but you just do the promotion of it. You say you work with your distributor to sell the books for you. So there are ways of entering the special sales segment without having to quit your day job.
Let me ask you two questions in there, Brian. So one, you just talked about distributors. So question number one, talk about doing that, getting in with the distributors who can turn around and sell your book into some of these other places. And then on the side, the second question is talk about, maybe for example, going to the government and having them, purchase 8,000 of those books every quarter. How do you after you identify these are some places where we think people might buy these kinds of books or could use this kind of information, Do you just pick up the phone? You start tracking down their email addresses. Just use a little bit of leather on hitting the pavement.
True leather. Yes, that's right. Sure.
Yeah.
Probably all of the above. And different kind. That's the beauty of this, Derek. It's different. It's fun. It requires creativity. But I'm going to throw your questions. The two questions. One about this distributors. How to find distributors. Talk to your distributor for your bookstore distributor first. That distributor may already have access to these other retailers and may be already selling to them. In most cases, they're probably not, but at least it's a good place to start. And then there's a company called ReaderLink, one word, ReaderLink.com. And then they distribute to many of these discount stores, warehouse clubs, supermarkets. There's SciMac Sales. They're in Canada, but they do a lot of distribution of books in Canada and the U.S. There is a website called GreatRep.com. There you can actually, for these for gift shops, for example, and they'll have they have a place on their website of lines available. So you can just have your book cover there with a description of it. And these people go through there. If they're looking for new lines to carry, they'll go there and they'll contact you if they think that they can sell your book to these retailers, to gift shops. There is choicebooks.org, and they sell to supermarkets, pharmacies. Hudson will sell more the airport stores. Ingram sells to airport stores. You have those are probably the top ones for that. So those are the just trying to think of some others that you might. But if you get ReaderLink, SciMac, Hudson, Choice Books, Great Rep, you'll have a lot of maybe those top distributors. Or if you go into national parks or to museum gift shops, museum gift shops or aquariums and zoos, if your content is appropriate for kids or for those on those topics, then go to Event Network, and they run the gift shops in these museums and zoos. And if you have a book for national parks or state parks, go to Eastern National for the Eastern Parks and Western National Parks Association for those west of the Mississippi. And their websites show have lists of all the parks and actually the gift store, the buyers. You can actually connect to the gift store buyers. So that leads into your second question about how do you find these people. If you want to do it on your own, you can go to the websites, find the parks and go there. But there are other sources of how to make the sale. One for corporate sales. There's a website called manta.com, manta.com. And that lists all businesses. So it's you go there and you can sort it by industry, sort it geographically, and find those that are in your city. And it gives you the name of the person to contact, email address, phone number, mailing address, the link to their website, so you can find out a lot of information. What I do, yes, about the process. Once you have this contact information, what I do first, Derek, is call, make a phone call to find out is that person still there, and the information on Manta may be old, so you want to check to make sure that the prospect to whom you're calling, the marketing manager, the HR manager, make sure that person is still there. And it's, in many cases, when I call for my clients or for myself, that the receptionist will say, "What's the call about?" Well, I want to talk to Derek about my book and purchasing my book. Boom, you go right to Derek's voicemail. And so first thing, have a good voicemail message. But what I found, what I do now the receptionist will say, who'd you like to talk to? I'll say, well, please transfer me to accounts receivable. Hello, accounts receivable. How did I get you? I'm trying to get Derek in marketing. Would you please switch me over to him? And it's not always, but in 99% of the time it goes through because they don't want to talk to you. Yeah, they're in accounts receivable. And so, yeah, you pick up the phone because it's an internal call. And so then you get through. So there are some creative ways of getting through. And then what I'll do after that, I'll talk to the buyer and mention the success we've had with other people or the content and how it could help them do something. And then you start the process and say, I'd like to send you some information about my book or set up a time to call. So set up a time to talk. Because what you want to do is you want to find out what those pain points are. Like, for example, with that 10,000 book order, we found out, we asked the buyer, if you were to hire somebody today to as your assistant, what would you want that person to do in the first 90 days? Well, we really need the buyer would say something to the effect, well, we have a big problem with absenteeism and productivity. I would tell that person, my new assistant, to address that problem. So now you know the pain points. So you find out that how to address that. And another technique that I've used is that buyers will say something to the effect, they'll say, tell me about your book. And the author will say, well, it's 6x9. It's got 220 pages. It's got some great photographs and excellent testimonials. And here are a bunch of reviews for it. So it took me 3 years to write. It's really a high content. And it's only $14.95. If you buy 10,000 today, I'll give you 50% off. How many do you want to buy? Well, none. So they don't sell any books. But if the buyer says, tell me about your book. And the author may say, well, let me ask you a couple of questions first. Sure, go ahead. Have you ever used books before as a promotional item? No, we haven't. What do you use? We use coffee mugs. Oh, really? What do you use coffee mugs for? What at trade shows, we give those out to people who come to our exhibit as a thank you for coming to our exhibit. Wow, that's really cool. Do you have to store those? Oh, yeah, we store those. And you ship them to the shows? Yeah, we do. Do you ever get breakage? Oh, sure, we get some breakage on it. Yeah. How many do you buy? We buy about 5,000 at a time. You know, do other exhibitors have coffee mugs too? Well, sure they do. So now, you know, so much more information. You know that they have to spend money for warehousing. They have to spend money for shipping. They have breakage. They don't have a unique gift to give people. And you know what their budget is. Coffee mugs are $2, $3 each. And they buy 5,000 of them. So they have their budget's $15,000. And just by asking a few questions, now you know, well, have all their pain points. Now you start your presentation about how your ebooks can be used. There is no storage, there is no breakage, there is no shipping charge. It's a unique product, and you can put your logo on it. You can customize it to your company. So that's how sales are made. And if you can just turn the perspective around from selling your book to getting people to buy it. And in writing books, it's the comment is show, don't tell. In selling books, it's ask, don't tell. And it's a totally different way of selling. And it's getting the prospect to buy instead of selling it to them. But you do that based upon your content about your form. So you're not selling books. You're selling the content they want in the form of an ebook. It's not a print. They don't want to print a book because they have to store that and ship it. And they're trying to minimize their costs. So the more you can help them solve their problems in a way that's profitable for them, it's a great win-win situation. So that's why I train people to do that. Or we have a program which we can do that for them. But it's something that it's you can't just pick up the phone and say you want to buy my book. You've got to do some research into it, and it's a process that you. You make the initial contact, you get the information about what they're trying to accomplish, you create a proposal, which could be just a one-page proposal, but that is your recommendation of what is required. And then you make a presentation, negotiate the sale, and then you get the signature on the dotted line, but then you have to do all the follow-up too, so to make sure that the books are printed, that the logo is in the right spot, that the tipping page is where they want it, and they're delivered to the various locations on time. And then you get those recurring orders, those are the 8,000 books a quarter that you get, do that for every state. So then you're printing books in large quantities, your printing cost has dropped significantly, and you're more profitable. If you print 10,000 books, 50, 20,000 books every few months, then your printing cost is significantly less. So that's these things all help to make your business profitable. And that's another really good point, Derek, that you're no longer an author. Once you get your book out there, you're not an author. You're a consultant. You're a salesperson. You're a business person. You're running a business. You know, I was in the corporate world for a number of years, and I got laid off my job. That's how I started in publishing business, writing my books. And I made that transition from an author to starting my business and selling it. And it's something that I had to sell it in order to grow my business. And I grew the product line. I wrote several books about job search topics. One thing, for example, with Job Search 101. I live right near New York City, and there's at the time CBS 101 was the highest rated job morning drive time radio show. So I called them up and said, I'll give you 10 books of Job Search 101 to give away on CBS 101. And they said, fine. So I said, can I be on your show? And so they said, sure. So I was on the highest rated morning drive time radio show in New York City talking about my book. And they would say the 10th caller gets a free copy of this book. And I thought that when I'm on a morning drive time radio show, that if I say they always say, how do we contact you, Brian? Well, you call 800-562-4357. Well, the people aren't going to remember that, but that spells out job help. So I'd say just call me at 800 job help. And so I got a lot of books that way for that. But I found out that that number was very close to the White Swan, Washington Police Department. So I got a lot of calls from people. Like one Saturday morning, I got a call from somebody who said, I want to report a stolen car. And I said, I'm sorry, you got the wrong number. Oh, just my luck. My car was stolen. I lost my job. Oh, you lost your job. I can help you with that. So I sold them a book. So always be ready to sell. Just a couple. And I wrote a book called Coping with Unemployment, a book about how to deal with the negative aspects or negative emotions of unemployment. And it was a great book, as you might know. But it's something that did not sell well in bookstores because people didn't want to be seen buying a book called Coping with Unemployment. So I found a catalog called, at the time, it was the Brown Wrapper Bookstore. And they sold non-pornographic books that people did not want to be seen buying, or non-pornographic products. And I sold a lot of books that way because it's a great – people wanted the information. They wanted the content. They just didn't want to be seen buying it. So that's another aspect of it. You can sell books through catalogs, through these third-party companies like Collective Books. Used to be Books Are Fun, where they'll set up displays in schools, and schools may use your book as a fundraiser. So they'll contact daycare centers if your book is appropriate for preschoolers, or they'll set up displays in corporations so that people can buy books there, or set up books displays in teachers' lounges. So they do selling for you. So you don't have to just go to the retail stores. You can go to these the book clubs. There's a company called Reading Group Choices that sells books to reading groups around the country. That might get five people here. They read the same book every month, and they meet and talk about the book. Or 10 people in this state, or 15 people in this area, or 20 people in the state. And to find those would be difficult, and to sell five books at a time is more time-consuming. But this Reading Group Choices has lists of these. They send out a catalog quarterly. So if you have a fiction book, or particularly or nonfiction book that would be appropriate for one of these reading groups, then they'll buy X thousand at a time from you, and then they send them out to these five at a time here, 10 at a time here. So that's another way of getting your books out to people on having somebody else do all the distribution, all the shipping charges for you. And so they buy books from you in one large quantity, and then the Collective Goods will do that, Reading Group Choices, the catalogs, book clubs. There are so many other ways of, and the book clubs don't have to be, a major book club, book of the month club. It could be a military book club or a children's book club. And so you have the corporations, you have schools, you have the military buys a lot of books. And Army Air Force Exchange Service online, they have a books category on their website. So the Navy Dash Next buys books for the sailors on board ship. So there are ways of getting to the military. Who's your target reader? In the military, Derek, they're not just buying books on military history. They're buying books for children about how to deal with frequent moves and changing schools every 2 years. Or I sold a lot of books to the military on how to get a job. The spouse of the military person changing career or changing jobs every couple of years, or the military person leaving the military and getting entering the civilian life. They want to find out how to get a job. So I sold a lot of books to the military, a lot of job search books to the military. I got a call one time from a prison librarian, wanted to buy my job search book. And I said, why? I didn't say why, but why? So he said, we get a lot of people, a lot of prisoners, when they are released from prison, have to enter the job market. So we want to make sure they're trained how to get a job. And I never would have thought of that. So I sold 1,500 books to other prison librarians. And so it sold a lot more and it kept getting stolen. But it's, So you have libraries, niche libraries, not just the public libraries. Look at these niche libraries, the law libraries and children's libraries, religious libraries, prison libraries, and also associations buy a lot of books. They may have a bookstore on their website. What we found is that you go to an association, if your content is appropriate to their mission, you can join them in what's called cause marketing, where they may put a link to your website on their website or allow you to use their logo. But then you go to the membership chair. That person's job is to increase their membership. So they may buy your book as a premium, as a thank you. So when people join the association or renew their membership, they get a free copy of your book as a thank you. And then we go to the newsletter editor. Now, that person's job is to get good content out to all the members. And they may have 100,000 members. So what we do is allow them to excerpt from our client's book, X 100 words per issue. And we'll say to them, instead of paying us for that, which they probably won't do anyway, say, can we barter that content for an ad? So you may get month one, they get an excerpt from your book. Month two, an ad about your book. Month three, a review. Or month four, you may submit an article to them. So you have that repetitive content. Then you have your book in the association bookstore. So people can the association is paid that way, that they get the book sale from it. And they have there's no out-of-pocket money from them to give you a free ad in their newsletter. So it's just – ways of getting they're distributing your content directly to the people who can buy it and buy your book, and just a great way to sell a lot of books. You can sell books to the meeting chair, membership chair, as in large quantities, all customized, non-returnable. And while you're on that website, go to the meeting planner to find out if you're a speaker, maybe speak at an upcoming meeting, and then they may use your book as a early bird special. That this person is speaking at our meeting, and if you register for to attend 3 months in advance, you get a free copy of that person's book as a thank you. So those are ways of getting that, again, non-returnable sales through the associations at the back of the room sales, but you have them doing that for you.
Brian, if we had another hour, I'd love to hear more stories about. About prison libraries.
that's a fun thing.
But in the last few minutes that we have, could you tell us a little bit about the Association for Publishers of Special Sales,
sure,
as well as Book University, which I just find the courses on there just so chock full of information.
Sure. I took over SPAN, the Small Publishers Association of North America, 5 years ago. We're having our five-year anniversary in January. But I changed. I wanted to change the whole mission of it, so I changed the name to the Association of Publishers for Special Sales, and it's APS. We just call it APS, A-P-S-S. That's APSS.org, and just changed the whole mission to non-bookstore marketing. So we get people that are interested in selling their books, as we've just been talking about for the last half or 40 minutes. So that is that that information. So we have webinars. We have information on our website about how to do that. We have recommended suppliers for helping you do that. And then we noticed we do surveys regularly of our members, and people wanted information. We would do webinars once or twice a month, but they had to be there to listen to it. So they wanted information on their schedules. So we created Book Selling University. It's bookselling university.com. Right now we have about over 50 courses. These courses are all by industry experts, by the topic experts, people on planning, on social media, on copyrights, on legalities, on publicity. And I do some on special sales. So we have speakers on, experts in their topics. So now people taking these courses can do it on their schedule anywhere in the world. They can access Book Selling University and have that, just purchase that course. And they're 15-minute, 30-minute, and 60-minute courses. So depending on how much time you have available, you can view them up to five times. So it's not for that one price. So it's we provide information. We provide information on your time. And if you're working full time, you don't have the ability to do or the desire or the skills to make all these sales calls that we've been talking about, we have a program which we can do that for you. So the way it's set up, if people want to do it themselves, we can help them do it. If they want to learn how to do it themselves, we can help them do it. If they want to do it for them, then we can. So we have all three. Some people do all participate in all three programs. So what I have done with the association is provide the access to these. Well, first of all, information about what special sales is, so people have that recognition of the opportunity, and then provide them access to the retailers, the non-bookstore retailers or the non-retailers, the catalogs, everybody who can help them sell more books. Our objective is to help our members just become more profitable and become sell more of their books more profitably to these non-bookstore buyers. So we help them, make it as easy as possible for them to do so. Now, that was my objective, and we've been doing that for the last 5 years and intend to do it for long term in the future. We're really the only association in the country, perhaps the world, that has as their primary mission non-bookstore marketing, and that's our point of difference, our unique selling proposition, our unique value proposition. So it's bookapss.org, or information about my program is bookmarketing.com, and or Brian Judd at bookmarketing.com is, or 800 job help. I still have that phone in it, Derek. I just try to make it as easy as possible for people to get in touch with me. And once we're in touch, as easy as possible for them to increase their sales in the ways in which they want to do it. So that's my theory of helping people make more money in this business.
Well, anybody who helps us make more money, we love them. So you have our love.
Well, that's good.
All right, Brian, this has been a whirlwind tour of, as you put it, as you pointed out, the market for books. It's actually bigger than the market for in retail bookstores. The most books are actually sold outside of bookstores, not inside, which is fascinating for a bookworm like me. So I appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure, Dirk.
And can't wait to learn more from APS as well as Book Selling University. I'm joining both.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.